So, Captain Larson, and when shall we arrive at Yokohama?
4 months.
4 months?
Possibly three if the season ends early.
I thought... I was given to understand that Yokohama is only a day's sail away. You can't do this. It's not right.
Not right? My, you sound like my mate here. Mr. Van Weyden's what you might call an authority on such things as rights. Now, me, I'm only a sailor. And from where I'm sitting, your misfortune is certainly all right with me.
Might I be taken off by some passing vessel, perhaps?
There'll be no passing vessels, except other sealing schooners.
I have no change of clothes, nothing. You hardly realize, sir, that I'm not a man, or that I'm unaccustomed to the careless, vagrant life that you and your men seem to lead.
Well, the sooner you get accustomed to it, the better. I forgot to inquire as to the nature of your occupation. What commodities do you turn out? What tools and materials do you require?
Paper and ink. Oh, and a typewriter.
You are Maud Brewster.
How do you know?
Aren't you?
Yes, I am.
I remember writing a review of a thin little volume.
You? You're...
Yes, I am.
Humphrey Van Weyden. I'm so glad. I remember that review, too. Too flattering.
No, not at all. Besides, mine wasn't the only one. All the other critics were with me. Didn't Lang include your kiss endured among the four supreme sonnets by women in the English language?
You're very kind, I'm sure.
Well, you... So you're Maud Brewster.
And you are Humphrey Van Weyden.
You men there, stand by the jib. Louis, ready to put about when I give the word.
Aye, sir.
Morning, Mr. Van Weyden. Good of you to join us. Miss Brewster keep you talking late, did she?
After all this time, a taste of civilized company does go to the head.
I just remember that after the champagne comes the hangover.
It seems to me you're the one with the sore head.
Maybe you're sickening again.
Don't you ever mention that, do you hear? I'm never sick. That head pain was a fluke, a one-off.
Well, I can see that you're on the rampage, mister, whatever the cause. So let me just point out that I was on deck at daybreak. The watch was in place and awake. All canvas was tightened up as soon as the dew burnt off, sir.
Very good, Mr. Van Weyden. You're the model mate. But I've other fish to fry. Be so good as to call Cookie on deck.
Aye, aye, sir.
Mr. Muggeridge! On deck, sharp!
Fine day for a dip, eh, Cookie?
How do you mean, sir?
You know damn well what I mean, man. I gave you fair warning. I told you to clean up that galley. I told you to change your shirt regular.
I have changed it, sir.
Shut your mouth, you scumbag. I've given you warning, and now you must take your medicine. You there, Kelly? Bring out a bowline.
Go! Get out! Leave me be, you bastards! Take three of you, done it! I'll bleed into you for this!
You hold still now, man!
Oh, Captain, don't do this to me! I'm not a well man! The bloody water will freeze me to death!
Come on, lads! Hold his arms! Let it! Now, make that fast around his middle! Gag! Man, this is long overdue! You smell like a midden! Right! Over the side with him!
Good morning, Miss Brewster.
Good morning. What's going on? It sounds like a football game.
I'm afraid Larson didn't like our cutting him from the conversation last night. He's taking out his umbrage on the cook.
My goodness, is that the man in the water?
Yes. Larson's teaching him a lesson in personal cleanliness.
Shark! Oh! Stop it, Mr. Van Weyden!
I see it, Louis!
Shark! Shark!
Shark! Shark! You must excuse me, ma'am!
Even! Lively! All hands, tail on!
Heave!
got me!
Did you see what happened, Helmsy?
I did, ma'am. The shark took a jump at him as he came clear of the water.
My God.
He got me, Skipper! He bleeding got me!
Hold still, Cookie, while I wind this tourniquet good and tight.
God! It's cutting into me!
Two of you, there! Get this man below! Mr. Van Reenen, prepare a hot iron!
Aye, aye.
Man play, Miss Brewster. Rougher than what you might be used to, I suppose.
Is that man all right?
He'll survive. I didn't reckon on the shark. It was what you might call providence. He was a lousy cook anyway.
The Sea Wolf by Jack London. Starring Jack Claff as Wolf Larsen, Kerry Shale as Humphrey Van Weyden, and Shelley Thompson as Maud Brewster. Episode 3.
The shark was all of 16 feet long. They baited a swivel hook with salt pork. By the time I'd cauterized the stump of Mugridge's leg, the shark was caught and hoisted up against the main rigging. Larsen had them pry apart the jaws. Then he sharpened a piece of timber at both ends and stuck it in the beast's mouth so that once the prize were taken away, the spread jaws were fixed open. Then they cut out the hook and threw the shark back into the sea. It had all its strength, but won't be able to feed. It will starve to death. Slowly. I dwell on these details, Miss Brewster, because I want you to be absolutely clear about what sort of man controls this ship.
I think I'm clear about Larsen. I'm wondering about you, Mr. Van Weyden.
What do you mean?
Mr. Haskins, the engineer who was saved with me, tells me that the day we were rescued, two men weren't so lucky. Larsen refused to pick them up. They were left to fend for themselves in a small boat, deliberately left to drown. They were murdered.
Yes, that's true.
And you permitted it.
I was unable to prevent it.
But you tried to prevent it?
I wish I could say that I had.
But why didn't you?
Miss Brewster, you don't yet understand the laws of this strange floating world you've been thrust into. I mean, what would you advise, that I should take a knife or a gun or an axe and kill Larsen?
No, of course, I'm not...
Then what should I do? Kill myself?
Violence isn't the only way. There's such a thing as moral courage, and moral courage is never without effect.
Ah, I should let him kill me. Oh, I see.
That's not what
Forgive me, ma'am, but the men who died were my shipmates. One of them wasn't much more than a lad of 19 or so, and he had moral courage in spades. So had the other man, if it comes to that. Not only did it not stand them in good stead, it actually helped destroy them. You've got to understand, I've only survived this long because of Wolf Larsen's whim. I'm a slave on this ship, and now so are you.
Surely.
You'll never beat this man at his own game. Believe me, your only chance is to play along with him.
Play along with a murderer.
Come now, Miss Brewster, forgive me for being blunt, but I might not get another chance to talk to you alone. I can tell you've been used to, what shall I call it, managing people with your eyes, letting your own moral courage shine out.
Mr. Van Weyden, you're impertinent.
Please don't take offense where none is intended. There really isn't time. I'm talking about survival here. Don't try it with Larsen. Miss Brewster, we might just make it if we agree to work together. We have to be allies, but we mustn't let him know that we are.
What do you intend to do?
I don't know yet, but I know what you mustn't do. Don't cross him in any way. Smile and be friendly, no matter how repulsive it may be.
What are you suggesting I do? Play the little woman? Perhaps I should apply for the cook's position.
No, not at all. Talk to him about your work.
My writing?
Yes, strange as it may seem, he likes to talk about philosophy and literature. He keeps quite a library in his quarters. You'll find him an attentive listener and no fool.
Boil up some tea and bring it to my cabin.
Aye, sir.
But if you attempt, in any way at all, to take him on, he'll treat you exactly as he did that shark.
I've always been proud of the fact that I discovered him.
Miss
Brewster.
Captain.
Don't let me interrupt, Hump.
We were just chatting about Paris, his poem, The Forge. You see, the editors were afraid of him, Miss Brewster, and the publishers didn't want to know, but that all changed after he published The Forge.
And wasn't it a newspaper poem?
Yes, yes, it did happen to surface first in a newspaper.
I remember The Forge, full of pretty sentiments and an almighty faith in human illusions. By the way, Mr. Van Weyden, you better look in on Cookie. He's complaining and restless.
Aye, aye, sir. Well, we'll continue this another time, Miss Brewster. I hope you'll give my views some consideration.
Au revoir, Mr. Van Weyden.
Well, ma'am, you seem lively enough in spite of your ordeal.
I have a strong constitution, sir.
Good. You'll need it. Though you look as if a fresh breeze would break you in half.
Looks can be deceptive, Captain Larson.
All right, lads, that'll do it. What about number three boat? Where the hell's Horner?
Still in his bunk, last I seen him.
Lazy bastard. Kick him out, will you?
All right.
This fog a nuisance, Mr. Smoke.
Oh, don't stop me, Mr. Mate. If we wait for clear weather, we might lose that herd out there.
A boat could go out into that and never be seen again.
What's that you say?
Nothing, mister, nothing.
What are we waiting for, Mr. Van Weyden? There's seals out there. Get the boats over the side.
Aye, aye, sir. Come on, men! Boats away!
Lower away there!
You have hold
here!
You know, I was just thinking. You've tried me on every job except going out for seals.
Anchoring to do some hunting, are you?
I'd certainly like to take one of the boats out sometime, yes.
I bet you would. Especially while the ship's sucked in with a good sick fog, eh?
I don't know what you mean.
Listen, Hump, don't play me for a fool. Don't think that I'm particularly concerned about you. If you disappear into the fog one of these days, I find myself another mate, that's all. But a boat's a different matter. A boat's meat and potatoes to me. It's my livelihood, mister. Understand? Nobody takes away my living without I make them pay. All right? So no more talk of taking yourself out in a boat. Get yourself forward and let's put those hunters to work. There's money to be made.
A fine night, Louis.
Aye. It's a fair westerly.
I'll take a turn about the deck.
Mr. Van Weyden.
Huh? I didn't see you there, Miss Brewster.
It's other eyes I'm avoiding.
Are you all right?
Mr. Van Weyden, I was wrong to judge you the way I did at first.
No, please, it doesn't matter.
No. I spoke to you like a schoolma'am, and I'm sorry. It's a fault of mine, I'm afraid.
You weren't to know.
Mr. Van Weyden, can I confide in you?
Of course. What is it?
I've always thought of myself as a strong person. But after 1 week in the presence of that man, I feel as vulnerable as a child. You were right about his talk. He wouldn't be out of place in any salon as far as his conversation goes. But his eyes are something else. He all but devours one, his eyes. It's a most unnerving sensation. I tell you, Mr. Van Weyden, I've never been so frightened of another human being since I was a child.
It does not show, I can assure you. You're doing wonderfully well. Don't forget, you have an ally. I'll do what I can to deflect him from you. All will come right, Miss Brewster.
I hope so.
Trust me, it will come right. Why not try to rest now? There'll not be much sleep to be had at daybreak when the boats go over the side.
Yes, I will. Thank you, Mr. Van Weyden.
Good night, Miss Brewster.
Good night.
Ah,
Choppy waters ahead, mister.
You think so? What do those old bones tell you, Louis?
Same as your young blood's telling you, I reckon.
What do you mean?
Don't give me that. You may have lived most of your life between the covers of books, but you're not a monk.
Why?
Happy Jesus, every man jack of all is rising to the rustle of that scourge. And you're no different, mister.
Well, I must say the chow's improved since Cookie's been confined to his bunk. It's an ill wind, eh, Mr. Van Weyden?
I'll convey your compliments to the galley, sir.
Will you have some more potatoes, ma'am?
Thank you.
I like to see a woman eat well, eh, Horner?
Aye, aye. Appetite is healthy, eh, ma'am?
I suppose so.
Yeah. You eat hearty. Fatten yourself up. There's too many females with so much skin and bone.
Old smoke likes something to get a bit of purchase on, eh, Smoke?
Shut your mouth.
Mr. Van Weyden?
Sir.
Give orders to the galley from now on. The hunters will take meals in their own quarters. Anything to say about that, Smoke?
Hunters is men to sit at the captain's table.
Shut your mouth, Latimer.
What was that, Skipper?
I asked you if you had anything to say.
About what?
Oh, nothing. I just thought you might want to register a kick.
About what?
Steamer!
How's it bear?
Get a stern, sir!
A steamer? Maybe it's a Russian patrol boat.
We haven't been poaching in Russian waters by any chance, have we, Skipper?
We're dead safe. No salt mines this time, Smoke. But I tell you what, I'll lay 5-1 it's the Macedonia. And if it is, I'll give you 10-1 there's trouble breezing up.
No, thanks. I don't mind losing my money, but I'd like to get a run for it at least. Never was a time there wasn't trouble when you and that brother of yours got together, and I'll lay 20-1 on that.
Yeah, well, let's go and take a look.
Wolf Larsen has a brother?
Apparently so.
Another one from the same litter. Why are you smiling, Mr. Van Weyden?
Because that was precisely my reaction when I was first told about Death Larsen.
Death Larsen?
That's his name, apparently. There's no love lost between them, and if you can imagine such a thing, Death Larsen is as feared a skipper as the wolf.
Seals ho! Seals!
I must go on deck and get the boats away. At least the Macedonia will keep Larson's mind occupied while it's around.
Mr. Van Weyden.
Sir.
Look, over yonder. In your spyglass, make out the name on the hull.
Yes, it's the Macedonia, all right. And steaming towards our boats.
Aye. Damn him.
Where's the trouble you were so sure was breezing up, Captain Larsen?
What were you expecting? That they'd come aboard and cut our throats?
Something like that. I'm learning to expect anything from seal hunters.
Quite right. Your only mistake is in not expecting the worst.
What can be worse than cutting our throats?
Cutting our purses.
Who steals my purse steals trash.
Who steals my purse steals my right to live. There ain't enough soup kitchens to go around, you know. And when men have nothing in their purse, they usually die, and die miserably. Unless they're able to feed their purses pretty speedily.
But I still don't see how this steamer has designs on your purse.
Wait, and you'll see.
All right, make those lines fast! Let's have the last of those carcasses! Look sharp!
Did you see that, Mr. Van Weyden?
14 boats that bastard put down! 14!
Bastard!
You robbed us. Did the skipper see?
You bet, mister. He watched it all through the spyglass.
They cut us right off from the herd. Left us with about 3 frigging miles to work on.
Damn these Larsons. There ought to be a law.
That was the best day's picking so far. Why, those seals were lying about thick as a carpet.
And then Death Larsen steams right through the big bastard and drops his punks between us and the herd. There were 14 to our 5. What can we do?
We did the best we could.
Listen to them. What do you make of it, Miss Brewster? Do you hear any high ideas? Do you get them harping on the good, the beautiful, the true.
Their innate sense of right has been violated.
I can see you pay your subs to the same club as Mr. Van Weyden there. You're a sentimentalist. It's nothing to do with their innate sense of right. They don't want right. They want good grub and soft beds when they get ashore. They want their women and their drink. And to get them, they need a handsome payday.
You hardly behave as if your purse has been hit.
Don't you believe it. At the current price of seal pelts in the London market, the Macedonia has robbed me of about $1,500 worth.
But you speak so calmly.
I'm not feeling calm, I assure you. I've been waylaid and I could kill the man who's done it.
Your own brother?
Yes. Miss Brewster, if I had him here now within my arm's reach, I'd break his neck and good riddance, brother or no brother.
I don't believe you.
Of course you don't. You're a sentimentalist, a dreamer. You look for good in everything, and because you want to find it, you do. Ah, hump! What about you? You find any good in me?
In a way.
Oh, yes? What way's that?
Well, aesthetically, I guess. There's a bearing about you that's good to look at.
But that ignores the inner man. You have a potential for good within you.
Within me? Where? Anatomize me, if you will, and lay out my potential for good. Your words are empty to me. There's nothing clear and sharp about the thought you've expressed. You can't pick it up in your two hands and look at it, and I'll tell you why. Because it's not a thought. It's a feeling, a sentiment, an illusion. Well. You know, sometimes I catch myself wishing I was blind. Like you. Blind to the facts of human nature. After all, it's more a pleasure to be hid from illusions. Sometimes I feel like a sober man, looking at drunks and wishing he was drunk, too.
Or like a wise man looking at fools.
Yes. You're a blessed, bankrupt pair of fools. You have no facts in your purse.
Yet we spend more freely than you.
Because it costs you nothing.
Why don't you change the basis of your coinage if it's so unrewarding?
Too late, too late. I'd like to, maybe. But I can't.
Well, well.
It's a bleak way of thinking. Even Wolf Larsen must howl at the moon sometimes.
Do I detect a note of sympathy?
Oh, I have the same sympathy for him as I do for any wild animal. He was taken with a vile headache some weeks back. It laid him low, and I nursed him through it. It really was like having a dumb animal on my hands. He was totally helpless, totally dependent on me. But it was only an interlude. Oh, God help the man who's put him in this mood tonight.
The brother.
Oh, yes.
But surely, with the Macedonia, with all her steam power, I mean, Death Larsen can do as he pleases.
If he were up against anybody else, I'd agree. But there's nothing so dangerous as a wounded wolf.
You've been on deck this morning, Mr. Van Weyden. How do things look?
Clear enough.
The sun shines lovely.
The breeze is still westerly. A promise of stiffening, if Louis predicts correctly.
Good. Any sign of fog?
Thick banks in the north and northwest.
That's very good. What of the Macedonia?
Not sighted.
No.
Steamer! Oh!
That he comes.
Smoke! Henderson! Horner! Get your hunters together for a party! Look sharp!
He seems in high good humor.
Yes, I fear he is. I'll go and see to the boats. Come up in a little while. That way you can see what happens and I can keep an eye out for you.
Let's go put ourselves some figures.
Good hunting, soldier!
What's up?
Never mind what's up, Mr. Van Weeden. You won't be 1,000 years in finding out, and in the meantime, just pray for plenty of wind. Oh, well, I don't mind telling you. I'm going to give that brother of mine a taste of his own medicine. Play the hog myself, and not just for one day, for the rest of the season, if we're in luck.
And if we're not?
Not to be considered. We simply must be in luck, or it's all up with us. Anyway, leave me to it, and go forward to your sick patient.
Well, Cookie, I guess they don't come much tougher than you after all.
Yeah. I ain't ready to drop off the purse just yet. I've got to hang on a while longer.
That's the spirit. Why, with an artificial foot, and they make excellent ones, you'll be stumping ship's galleys to the end of time.
Oh, I don't know about that. All I know is I ain't gonna rest happy until I seize that devil dead. He can't live as long as me.
That'll do, Mugridge. I know how you feel, but you should have learned by now to keep your mouth shut.
He's got no right to live. And as the good word puts it, he shall surely die. And I say amen, and damn soon at that.
Well, Mr. Van Weyden, the captain seems mightily preoccupied, but through my landlubber's eyes, I can't for the life of me see anything untoward.
Step up here and look through the spyglass, Miss Brewster. There are things to be seen, all right. You see there, those are our boats.
Yes, I see them quite clearly. Why, I could even make out Mr. Smoke's tattoos.
Now, look ahead of ours.
Yes, more boats.
Yes, those are the Macedonia's boats. Hogging the catch again.
But as I said yesterday, I don't see what Larson can do against all that steam power.
Well, I think I have an idea. Give me the glass a moment. Yes. Now, take another look at Smoke's boat.
Yes, I have him.
That gun he has across his knees is a rifle.
What about it? Don't they shoot the seals with rifles?
No, a seal shot at long range with a rifle invariably sinks before you can get to it. I fear Smoke has other targets in mind. You see the way the Macedonia's weather boats, those five over yonder, the furthest from the Macedonia itself, are being pushed away from the other boats in their line.
Yes. They seem to be coming dead ahead of us.
Now you have it, Miss Brewster.
Mr. Anwinen!
Sir!
Stand by to back over the chips. We're going visiting!
Aye, aye, sir!
All right, Mr. Anwinen. Go to the rail and invite those men aboard for a gam.
Aye, sir. You men there! We know you're from the Macedonia! Captain Wolf Larson extends his greeting and would like to invite you aboard!
That's it. Step aboard. Who's top head here?
That's me. Telefson's the name.
All right. Telefson, send your two men forward, and you come below with me, and I'll break out a bottle.
I don't want to be too long away.
No, of course not. I just want to extend a little hospitality and catch up on the gossip, eh? Take yourself below now. Your two mates there can keep an eye on your boat.
All right. Stand down, lads. I'll be back in 15 minutes.
You will. Please stay on deck, Miss Brewster.
Very well.
And you too, Mr. Van Weeden?
Aye, aye, sir.
My goodness. That Tellefson is a veritable Viking. Even dwarfs Larson.
Aye. Much good may it do him. That, Miss Brewster, is the sacredness of our hospitalitas. Perhaps it might be better if you went forward, say, by the steerage companionway till this is all over.
I'll be all right.
Don't forget that whatever part I take in what's to come, I do it because I have to if we are ever to get out of this.
I understand.
Mr. Van Weeden?
Sir.
Go forward and tell those two men to hoist in their boat. The hunters decided to stay aboard a while.
Aye, aye, sir.
All right, you men.
Does he mean to haul in all their weather boats?
Not all. One more, maybe. Just enough to even up the odds for Smoke and his cronies to pick off the others without too much trouble.
Miss Brewster, take yourself below.
After what I heard going on below, I think I'd rather stay here on deck.
Oh, you won't find nothing gruesome down there. Only our friend Telef's own mate fast to the ringboats. But it might get warm here. Bullets are likely to come aboard, and I don't want you killed, you know. You see? Mr. Van Weyden?
Sir.
Take over the wheel.
Aye, aye, sir.
I'll go no further than the companionway opening here. We may be feeble pen pushers without legs, Captain Larson, but we can show you that we're every bit as brave as you.
I like you 100% better for that. Books and brains and bravery. You're well-rounded. A blue stocking fit to be the wife of a pirate chief. Well, we'll discuss that later.
Hold her steady, Mr. Van Weyden. If I can send this one home, we'll have no trouble picking up some more guests. Damn! Bring her in a little closer, Mr. Van Weyden. I guess that'll fix them.
You shot that man.
Don't worry, Miss Brewster. He was only the boat steerer. I couldn't afford to let the hunter have it, and I'm hoping the boat puller doesn't know how to steer, in which case the hunter can't shoot and steer at the same time. Take another look through your spyglass and see if I'm right.
Man has certainly dropped his rifle and has taken the helm.
Good. Mr. Van Weyden, keep her steady at that. I'll throw them a line.
Aye, aye, sir.
Why? I'm sure I saw the man move. He's not dead.
No, ma'am, not with a shoulder wound. He ain't. Nothing serious. Mr. Van Weyden, we'll pull him round in 2 or 3 weeks.
Oh, no.
What is it, Miss Brewster?
Just there. Beyond this next boat, there's another one.
Aye, that's Smoke and Horner's work. You won't be pulling any of those men round, huh? I told Smoke we wanted live men, not carcasses, damn it, but... That's the joy of shooting to hit. It's the most compelling thing once you learn how to shoot. Ever experienced it?
No, sir.
God. You don't live. Well, we pick up this boat with a winged steerer, and then we'll head on into the bunch. Sounds as though the shooting's over anyway. We have a pretty full crew in spite of Smoke and Horner killing those three beggars.
You intend to hijack these boats?
I don't intend to, ma'am. I'm doing it.
Skipper! Steamer there, due northeast.
Yes, I've been watching it. How far would you say to the fog bank yonder, mister?
7 or 8 miles.
Yeah. Nearer 10, I'd say. But we'll make it, I think.
That steamer's getting nearer.
Oh, sure. You can bet your life he's tweaked our little game, and he's just humping for us. I'll beat you out, though, bread of mine. I'll beat you out. And I wish you no worse than that you rack your engines into scrap.
Hoist her in!
Close the line!
Heave! Heave!
Here she comes. Steady.
Swing in that tackle there!
You're right, Horner. Anderson.
All right.
Pick up prisoners to the forecastle.
All right. Come on, move your butt.
This ain't no pleasure cruise.
Let's have that boat to port sharp, mister! Let up those sheets there! Stand by to get underway! Mr. Van Weyden?
Sir?
This is the last of the boats coming aboard. As soon as she's clear of the water, let's make headway!
Aye, sir!
Macedonia's charging along. He's not bothering to pick up his other boat. He's steaming straight for us.
No, he's not running straight for us. He's trying to get ahead of us. Our courses are converging on that fog bank yonder. If the Macedonia gets there first, it's the end of us.
I'll take over the wheel, mister.
Aye, sir.
We have to draw every last ounce of speed out of the old ghost. Go down on deck, Mr. Van Weyden, and tell the hunters to stand by with their rifles at the lee rail.
Aye, aye.
Are you expecting more shooting?
Well, he has no rivals on board, but... Look there! That's what I expected. He's firing off his cannon!
Nice shot. Put a hole through our main sail. Damn him.
Here comes another.
There she goes. 20 feet astern, skimming like a pebble. See her?
Yes, I did. He's going to blow us out of the water.
His first shot was a fluke. He'll be lucky to pot the coast while she's skybooting through the brine at this rate of knots.
We've made it. Here comes the fog.
Mr. Van Weyden, go forward and hard a lee without a sound. Do you hear?
Aye, sir.
Clew up the topsails first. Set men at all the sheets. I want no rattling of blocks, no sound of voices, no noise. Understand? No noise.
Aye, aye, mister.
You see what I am about, Miss Brewster?
I think so. You've led the Macedonian into the fog, and now you're putting about to try and shake him off.
Aye, that's right. Break out of the fog, sail along it for a while, and then go back into leeward. Cat and mouse him until he has to give up and go back for what's left of his boats. I'd give $500 to be aboard the Macedonia just to hear that brother of mine cursing.
All the watches are set, mister.
Thank you, Mr. Van Weyden. Keep this course, helmsman.
Aye, skipper.
We won't do any lingering tonight.
You think we've lost him?
Oh, sure. Listen, we must make the newcomers welcome. Serve out plenty of whiskey to the hunters and see that a few bottles slip forward. I bet you any money every man jack at him is over the side tomorrow, hunting for Wolf Larson as contentedly as ever they hunted for Death Larson.
You don't think they'll make a run for it? Try to get back to the Macedonian?
Not as long as our hunters have any say in the matter. I promised Smoke and his men $1 a skin for all the skins shot by the new hunters. Why else do you think everybody pulled so hard to get it today to get them boats aboard and outfox in Macedonia? Oh, no, there won't be any escaping. And come on, man. Break out the whiskey.
Drink up, comrades.
More of this, Tillotson, and you won't feel them bruises the wolf gave you.
Your skipper's an animal.
Hey, he's your skipper now.
No way.
You'd better believe it, old comrade.
Yeah, you're working for the wolf now.
Larson won't get away with it. He can't outrun the Macedonia forever. Death Larson will break his back for this.
Don't hold your breath on that one, Tillotson.
Nobody breaks the wolf.
Yeah, so don't go getting any ideas.
Right. Skipper's been easy on you so far.
That's right. In Hakadarty 2 years ago, I seen him kill a man bigger than you, Tillotson. This guy was a giant. And the wolf killed him, ditto, with one punch of his fist.
Guy's head smashed like an egg.
Yeah.
Skipper don't care what he does, who he does it to.
Hey, tell about that time when them Jap smoke. Remember Kura Island?
Oh, yeah. We put into Kura Island one time. And aboard comes the governor and the chief of police. And they brings their little wee wives with them.
Pretty little bits of things like you see painted on
that.
So, we're just getting underway and blow me if the little Jap husbands don't get left astern in the sand.
Kind of like it was an accident, see?
And them little gals didn't get put ashore until a week later. And then on the other side of the island with nothing on their feet but little Stuart sandals for a hike home over the mountains.
Not that they was in any condition for walking.
Yeah, that's the wolf for you, Mr. Tillotson.
Sounds like some of the hooch has gone forward.
Yeah, come on now. Got some catching up to do.
Yeah.
We'll tan his hide. And they say so. And we hope so. Well, if we die, then we'll tan his hide. Oh, poor old man. Well, if we...
As I see it, a man does things because of desire. He may desire to escape pain or to enjoy pleasure, but whatever he does because he desires to do it.
Suppose he desires to do two opposite things, neither of which will permit him to do the other.
The very thing I was coming to. Now, Mr. Van Weyden, how goes it?
Well, I think you, me, and Louis are the only sober men aboard. You've let loose a positive saturnalia, which is no doubt what you intended.
And how are the wounded?
Drunk as well, and shrieking curses on your head.
No, so tell me something new. Oh, well, forget all that. Join us, Mr. Van Weyden. Miss Brewster is challenging my notion that man is motivated only by desire.
When the conflict comes between two mutually excluding desires, that's precisely when the soul of a man becomes manifest. A good soul will desire and do the good action. On the contrary, if it's a bad soul, it's the soul that decides.
Bells and nonsense. It's the desire to decide. A man wants to get drunk, all right? But suppose he also doesn't want to get drunk. What does he do? He simply obeys the strongest desire, that's all. He's a puppet of his desire. If the desire to stay sober prevails, it's because that's got the strongest pull.
I say you're both talking bilge.
Why are we now?
Your hair's splitting.
You deny the soul.
No, I do not.
Show it to me, then.
You've already done that, but you don't realize it.
Why don't I realize?
That a man's soul is his desires.
Oh, come now, sir.
Or if you will, the sum of his desires is his soul.
Bosh! You're simply playing with words.
Easy with you.
What's the matter, Louis?
The fog's breaking up. It is the port light of a steamer that's crossing our bow this blessed minute.
Come on, quickly. Louis, get yourself fired fast as you can and close the forecastle scuttle.
Aye, aye.
Mr. Van Wheaton, you can hold the steerage, slide over the rest of that drunken clamor. Sharp man.
Aye, aye, mister.
Not a sound as you go.
All battened down, skipper. That's about as quiet as we're going to get.
There she is. See that light there?
Yes. So close. I can hear the engines. Is it the Macedonia?
That's her, all right.
Lucky for us, he don't carry a searchlight.
What if I were to shout out after her?
It'd be all up. But have you thought about what would immediately happen? Easy now, easy. One tiny sound and I break your scrawny neck. Point taken?
Point taken.
Good. I like a person who's quick on the uptake.
What if I shouted out? Would you break my neck too?
No, I wouldn't do that. I like you too well to hurt you. Don't do it, though, just the same, because then I wouldn't hesitate to kill Mr. Van Weyden.
In that case, she has my permission to yell as loud as she can.
How about it, Miss Brewster? Care to sacrifice the dean-elect of American letters? Go ahead, scream if you want.
Too late. Look, the fog has swallowed up the Macedonia again.
Ah. So it is. Ah, well. Mr. Van Weyden, I do believe you're quite pale. Come along. Let's finish supper. We'll not let Death Larson cheat us of Maud Talk.
He will succeed.
He couldn't succeed. He was the fall guy.
As it were.
His was the lost cause.
Exactly. He led a lost cause and he wasn't afraid of God's thunderbolts. Hurled into hell, he was unbidden. Unbowed, he was a free spirit. To serve was to suffocate. He stood on his own legs. He was an individual.
The first anarchist. Well, Captain Larson, I fear you've exhausted me. I must say goodnight.
Well, then, it's good to be an anarchist. Here, at least we shall be free. The Almighty has not built here for his envy, will not drive us hence. Better to reign in hell than serve in heaven.
You're a born Lucifer, Captain. Bravo.
Mr. Van Weyden.
Sir?
Hand me my cap and coat there, mister. Thank you. My head's hurting me some all of a sudden. Need some air. I'll relieve Louis at the wheel. You can take over from me later. Better turn in now and get some sleep.
Aye, aye, sir.
All clear now, sir. Fog's lifting. And the old Macedonia seems to have dragged it all off with her. Yeah, you're all right, sir. What's the matter?
I'm fine, Louis. I couldn't sleep, that's all.
Sure, you look as though you'd seen old Jono clambering back out of the drink, God rest him.
No, it's what I'm not seeing that concerns me, Louis. Where's the skipper?
Right below, as far as I know.
He said he was going to take over the helm from you. You haven't seen him?
I'm telling you. I've not seen a soul since the two of you went below with that bit of skirt.
My God. Miss Brewster, what's the matter with me? I must be half asleep.
That's it. Squirm. My God, you were built to squirm. I've got you and I won't let go. You don't fool me. You've been giving me the command since we took you aboard. That book chat's all very well, but your eyes give you away, girl. I fascinate you, don't I? Never been so close to a real man, have you? You want me? Admit it. Okay. You want to squirm around some first, eh? That's okay. I like that. Like to feel that little body G'd up to full stretch. But I'm gonna break you, girl.
Arthur! Let her go!
Let her go!
Keep part of this hump if you know what's good for you!
I warn you, Arthur. I have a knife!
Wait! Mr. Van Weyden, wait!
And where...
You'll never humiliate me again!
Mister, for God's sake! Please, I said...
I'll kill him for your sake!
Put up the knife, please, don't you see?
What?
Something's happened to him. He let me go before you stabbed him.
Henry, where are you?
Here I am. What's the matter with you?
Help me to a seat.
We'll both help.
Wait, he's not to be trusted.
For pity's sake... Sick man. Help. Very sick man.
Come on. Help him into this chair.
Oh, I'm a sick man.
What's the matter? What can we do for you?
Where are you?
I'm here.
Don't want that slut near me. I must make it to my bunk. Lend a hand, will you? I'll be all right in another while. This damn headache. I've been waiting for something like this. I had a feeling I don't know what I'm talking about.
How is he? Has he lost much blood?
The knife wound is only a scratch.
What's happened to him, then? Do you think it's some sort of a stroke?
I don't know. Possibly. He's had these headache attacks before. They can be quite bad for days at a time, but I've never seen him like this. He's unnerved. Frightened.
For the first time in his life, I shouldn't wonder.
Yes, quite.
It was so odd. One minute it was like being in the grip of a grizzly, and then he let me go and staggered away. It's awful to see such a pitiful transformation in a man like that.
Your sympathy is admirable, Miss Brewster. But in the meantime, we have been dealt an opportunity here.
What do you mean?
Well, Larson is down. The ship's company is insensible. We must take advantage. Come on. Tread quietly. Wait for me at the top of the companionway steps until I give you the nod.
How goes it, Louis?
Fine. How goes it below?
Oh, Skipper's turned in with one of his headaches.
Yeah.
Why don't you go forward to your bunk? I'll take over here.
Well, I don't mind if I do. Good night now, mister.
Good night, Louis.
Miss Brewster. All right, here. Hold the wheel steady.
Aye, aye, mister.
Can you manage? It's harder work than it looks. Once I've trimmed down, I can lash the wheel in place. I'll be about 15 minutes. I'm going to clew up the topsails and lower the jib and staysail.
Your jib is so much gibberish to me. Just go and come back as quickly as possible.
Aye, aye. Good. Let's look in on Larson.
I want to take away his rifle and shotgun. All right?
All right.
Well now, mister, how goes it?
It's you, huh?
Aye, it's me, mister. Everybody else aboard is out cold. Anything I can do for you?
No, I'm all right. Leave me be till morning.
Aye, aye, sir. Goodbye, Lucifer. Now, Miss Brewster, are you up to some more manual work?
What do you have in mind?
We must go to the lazarette store and take away as much tinned stuff and such like as we can load into one of the boats. You'll trust me, won't you, for a journey of some 600 miles?
The both of us, you mean?
Yes, I mean just that. After tonight, there's nothing left for us but the open boat.
Oh, that's certainly true for me. But you're as safe as ever you have been.
No, there's nothing left for us but the open boat. Will you please dress as warmly as you can and make a bundle of anything else you want to bring with you? I'll go to the slop chest first and break out oilskins and mittens and blankets. Then I'll go to the lazarette, which is under the floor by the galley, and haul out the stores. Join me there, and be as quick as you can.
Very well.
Well, that's all she'll take, I reckon.
Me too. I'm exhausted.
You can rest up as soon as I've got her into the water. Now,
what was that noise?
What?
Listen.
Quickly, into the shadow of the boat.
Skinful. Bloody skinful. Goes through you like water.
Did he see us? What's he doing?
Better not look, man.
Oh, come on, come on. Before you piss your pants. That's good. Oh, it's a fine night. Fine night. And Dublin's fair city. The gals are pretty. I first
oh, really?
At least he was downwind. Now, come on. We must get the boat over the side. Here, hold on to my arm.
That boat seems an oddly long way away down there.
The sea is going to raise her up at any moment. Here she comes. Let me know when your feet touch and I'll let you go.
Yes, now. Go.
All right.
Fine, thanks.
Good. I'm casting off the tackle. Watch out below. Here I come.
Go.
Clear of that hell ship at last. We've made it. Japan lies straight before us.
Humphrey Van Weyden, you are a brave man.
Oh, nay. It's you who are a brave woman.
In The Sea Wolf by Jack London, Wolf Larson was played by Jack Clough, Humphrey Van Weyden by Kerry Shale, and Maud Brewster by Shelley Thompson. Mugridge was played by Ian Dury, Smoke by Anthony Jackson, and Louis by Nigel Anthony. Other parts were played by Charles Millam, Richard Pierce, Andrew Wincott, Norman Jones, Peter Penry Jones, and Clarence Smith. The Sea Wolf is adapted for radio in four parts by Ed Thomason. Original music was composed and played by Elizabeth Parker of the BBC Radiophonic Workshop. The Sea Wolf is directed by Adrian Bean.